Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Basetown? Hey, what's going on, people? It's an FBF Friday on The Usual Suspects, and as we always do, it is Nick, Barry, and myself as we get things going for the next 3 hours on the Powerhouse ESPN 97.5. Fellas, what's going on?
What's up?
All good in the hood. Looking forward to the weekend. Beautiful weather.
Dang, he didn't even let you say hi.
What's up? How you guys doing, people? I like the Astros cap, Joel.
Thank you. Throwback. Old school one.
It's pretty cool. That's the brick red, they called it.
Exactly. When they first moved
brick into. Brick red with the flying star or shooting star?
Enron. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how. Is that the one you had showed me that you use the hat stretcher on?
Mm-hmm.
How you wear any hat without a hat stretcher? You've got a big noggin. And I feel like you'd have to stretch a hat no matter what.
I have self-deprecated myself forever on the size of my dome piece. I'm sorry my daughter's got my head size.
I don't believe that.
I also have said that if I do lose my hair, I will be the next in line to be the next Jack for Jack in the Box. I have always been that
way. Do you think you'll lose your hair? Like AJ? Like bald or like Nick? Or
so my dad was bald at 21. So the fact that I am not bald yet, I'm hanging.
Good
for you. I am hanging. So I'm... You know what? At this point, I think it's all gravy.
Get,
you know, whatever.
You wear hats.
But I'm not doing the whole... I don't know. I say that. It just seems... Fred seems like he went through a lot of pain to do what he did.
Oh, really?
When Fred Fowler came in there and it looked like he had just fought in the Civil War with the bandage and the blood and all that, I was like, you know, I don't know if I want to go through all that.
It kind of did, though, right?
It did. Yeah. I mean, I thought he was either going to be the flute player or the drummer in the old, you know, the guys that stand in the end zone at the Patriots games.
Yes.
It looks like they just marched in the battle.
So you wouldn't do? Would you?
I think I'd consider.
Would you wear a piece?
No. And that. So God rest his soul, and that's why I can do this because otherwise he'd kill me. My dad wore a rug from the time he was 21 on.
Really?
He said he wanted to marry my mom as quick as possible, but then when they pushed him out, he's like, because I was afraid for pictures, I wouldn't have any hair if we waited any longer.
Wow.
And he used to have like the coiffed bouffant, the big rolling. All that hair in front.
And that was back when rugs weren't made. You could tell people.
So we're living
nowadays,
in Milwaukee.
You can't tell.
He would drive to Chicago, which is on a good day 90 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And he would have some
windows
like
up, of course.
Specialist. Yeah, do.
They got to have the windows up because
like
it'll
the
blow
real
off.
Hair, you know, and all, you know, I'd go into my closet for something and I'd be digging behind on a couple of shelves. I'd be like, what's this? Who killed a rodent and a skunk? And then I said, oh my God. And my mom's like, don't ever tell your father that you saw this.
So
and
he had
boxes of these
y'all pretended
old things.
Like you didn't know?
Oh, we had to.
Really?
Dude.
That'd be the first thing I busted on my dad about. First time he's like, go clean your room.
No. Oh, could not do
it'd
it.
Be on.
We, the whole family, we all had to pretend like we didn't know.
Oh, I would have been the wrong son born in that family.
And true story, when he passed, and my mom called me and we were talking about all this, and she's like, you know, he went in his sleep and the paramedics came in and they were, you know, trying to tend to him.
Oh.
And the first thing she said was, she goes, Joel, she goes, I know it was just instinct, but I said to the paramedics, whatever you do, please make sure that his hairpiece stays on. It would mean that much to him. And they just looked at me, and she was straight. She goes, and I think
he cared about that.
Oh,
huh?
It was a big deal.
It's so funny because I think I've said this before. In fact, I think we've discussed something like this, but I would love to be bald. I don't want hair
bald
on my head.
Bald as an option, I think, is good. Bald as a necessity is a different story.
But I don't think I would mind if all my hair started falling out. I'd be okay. Like, I really wouldn't mind. I get it cut short enough as it is.
Well, you don't have the Astrodome for a head size like me, so I think it would
fair enough.
That would probably work.
I do
to
have
your
a
benefit.
Pretty good shaped head. It's a nice size, if I do say so myself. It's it's probably average size. I don't know.
And from a head size perspective,
7 3/8. That's not big, is it?
So do I.
Oh hell.
Yeah. So do I.
How is that possible? Your head.
I don't know.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Damn, I got a big ass head.
Now that he says it.
Yeah.
You've got the same size head as Joe Blank, sir.
No way.
I'm just telling you, that's my hat size.
Oh my God. No. So, radio host found dead in his bathroom, hung himself.
With or without coffee at the coffee bar.
It's going to take me a while to make the noose, obviously.
Death by caffeine in his own bathroom.
It's going to take me 2 weeks to fashion a noose to fit around my big ass head now. I didn't even know that my head was that big. Oh, wait a minute, guys. Can we start over? This is not good.
Well, you asked for it.
Damn. Now, I will say some hats I buy are 7 1/4, so.
Okay. Well, that's good. Then it would be smaller than mine.
Barely.
Yeah. But that's fine. I mean, look, that's the thing with fitted hats. People start having to face the real. Like, Barry Bonds was like an 8.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, so that's a different story. I do want to say, before we get into anything else, I do want to give a shout out, and you guys can probably relate, but Sandra Banks is a dear friend of mine. She is the longtime receptionist for the Toyota Center and the Houston Rockets.
Oh, okay.
And for someone that has taken more hits for more people in a front office, because the first time someone calls and says, I can't hear the Rockets game, I didn't see the Rockets game, your cable network sucks, she's the one that always has to take all those calls and then get them to somebody. You'll not find a sweeter, bigger-hearted, nicer person on this planet. And after 20-some-odd years, today was her last day at Toyota Center. And she used to tell everybody we were twins because we were both Geminis and everything like that. Mm-hmm. She is the greatest lady on the planet. I just want to tell her that I love her, I appreciate her, and I thank her for everything she did for all those years for the Rockets, because she is salt-of-the-earth great people.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Yeah. They wanted me to – there was a lot of employees like, you coming back for the party? We want you, we can't wait to see you. I'm like, yeah, I don't think Tad would – yeah, I think he might have a coronary if I walked in the
building.
You
should go.
No, it already was.
Oh, well, why wouldn't you go, though?
Because if it was like if it was lunch somewhere or a party somewhere, absolutely I'd be there in a heartbeat. I just don't think I would like to make it uncomfortable. I'm not that person to make it uncomfortable for everybody else. No, but
damn, Tad, go for her.
She and I talked on the phone several times in the past 2 weeks, so we were good. But yeah, I was in the neighborhood downtown this morning. And I did see what I thought was a water buffalo grazing. And when I looked at the crosswalk, it actually was him. And I thought for a second, Barry
and Nick. That's why you don't go.
I thought for a second, Barry and Nick are doing the show by themselves today because I'm going to be in jail. I'm going to make him a hood ornament right now. I'm just going to put him on the hood of my car and just do something for the people.
Now, see, that's inappropriate talk.
But I love you, Sandy. So I hope you enjoy retirement.
She seems like a nice lady. To put up with people calling like that, she's got
to
have
the patience of a saint.
Put up with Joel for 23
years.
Yeah,
that's true, too. But you know, to put up with like when AT&T Sportsnet and 60% of the market couldn't get the games, and they, you know, after every game, some people would be lined up to call, and she'd have to talk to every one of them before she put them through to my voicemail. And I'd come back to her and say, my God, if you had to deal with a quarter of what was on my voicemail, she's like, Joel, those people aren't very nice. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Because they don't say very nice things on my voicemail either. But yeah, she's a saint. So I wanted to make sure I said that.
Yeah.
Other than that, what do we got going today? Anything happened last night? Nick, I know you were at the game, but before or after that, anything that pops up?
Just the whole coronavirus thing. That was kind of interesting.
Huh?
The numbers are going up here in H-Town.
You ran into the coronavirus?
I hope not. You guys remember Matt Harab, right?
Sure.
Yes. Matt Harab is actually the first time I ever hosted a radio show was with my boy Matt Harab, and now he's a reporter.
Ketchup lover.
The ketchup lover got he had a report about a potential case coming from Egypt.
He's a reporter?
Yeah, he's a reporter now.
For
what's it called? The radio station, the NPR.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so now he's got the blue check, so you got to put some respect on his name,
snap.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So he reports this case about the, you know, about three cases where they were just on a trip from Egypt and they came to Houston. And so that obviously prompted a phone call to Mama Sharara overseas because that's where she's at.
Right.
So I'm calling trying to be a good son. And she's like, yeah. I'm, she didn't seem worried at all. And she's like, I heard about the case in Fort Bend County.
Yeah.
I'm like, you heard about the case in Fort Bend County all the way from overseas? She's like, yeah. And the first thing you got to do is you got to give your dog Chiquita a bath.
Okay.
I'm like,
what?
Excuse me? I'm trying to make sure. I'm trying to be a good son. I'm trying to make sure, you know, your well-being is okay. She's like, no. I'm fine. You got to make sure you give Chiquita a bath, and you got to make sure you got to do it at your place, your house, because if you take it into where you normally take it in, she might get the coronavirus from one of the other dogs.
Wow.
I'm like, wow. You're not concerned about me at all.
That's brutal, though.
And I was like, well, you know, I'm not going to overreact on my 75-year-old mom.
Yeah.
You know, but point me, taken. Mom? Chiquita is a resident of Fort Bend County.
Can I bathe too? She loves the dog,
but,
right?
But your son is a resident of Fort Bend County too, Mom. I'm just throwing that out
Am
there.
I allowed to bathe with the dog, Mom? Would that be cool? Is that okay?
I don't know what kind of news they're feeding you in Egypt. But
well, she does love the dog, hilarious. Right?
Oh, my God. She's so attached to that
but
dog.
But it's your. All of a sudden, it's your dog?
It's always been my dog, but she's kind of taken.
Okay.
That's like, too funny.
Talking to a 75-year-old Lisa Hernandez right now.
Yeah, now you know how you rate.
More worried about your dog.
Welcome to my world,
Hernandez,
Nick.
Blank.
Welcome to my world. You are right behind children and evidently in Mom Sharara's house.
It's dogs and then kids.
It's dogs before
I was
kids.
Shocked. I was shocked.
That's
and
too funny.
She couldn't have been more serious.
In my house, it's kids, dogs, me.
Well.
Yeah.
No.
And here too.
It's kids, dogs, Lisa, you.
No, Lisa. I'm talking about in my house from Lisa's perspective. Oh. It's kids, dogs.
And she probably
me.
Put herself before you too.
And she probably put her mom before me too. Depending on the
she
day,
she would live there. Yeah. She put right. Nick's dog before you.
It's quite possible.
Dude, I'm sorry. Your mom loves your dog more than you. That's
you and
gotta
I were
be
just
difficult
talking about
to,
this because I.
Deal with.
Oh, Nick and I were talking after the show yesterday about the fact that Italy was the country with the most coronavirus issues.
Really.
And then Nick was explaining to me, but no, you got to take into consideration because of Egypt and the airport and the travel and all these other things. And I was like, nah, I wasn't really onto that. Then he sends me the tweet from Matt Harrop, and I'm like, oh, no.
Like, we were literally talking about why Egypt could be a potential possibility because there's so many tourists that come from Europe. And, and I was like, dude, I wouldn't rule them out at all. And then I go on Twitter at the Toyota Center while I'm waiting for Mike D'Antoni to speak, and then I see Matt Harrop's report. And I'm like, what?
That was crazy. We had just chatted about it. I'm like, man, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's...
It's getting nasty. Now the craziest thing of all this, because yesterday, the assumed presumptive cases in Houston went up by like 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest thing was they're all tied together. They were all tied together on
They're all related?
Yeah, all related.
They all know Kevin Bacon.
No, it was... Oh. But it is less than 6 degrees because it was all because I think they all went on the same flight as part of a group trip or something. But then when they got back, they spread out.
Oh, no.
The Rice person went back to limited group activities on campus one day. And
so one of them was on Rice University?
Someone at Rice University, uh-oh. Yeah. It's crazy.
Uh-oh.
I think that was the case. See, they're not necessarily saying it's from Egypt, and I could be wrong. I got to text Matt. They were on a trip from Egypt, and their employees at
some Rice. Are, some aren't. Yeah, and some are 60 to 70 and older.
Oh no, and those are the worst ones. Yeah,
yeah. So there's a lot going on in H-Town right now with all of this.
Well, I'm moving.
Well, you're okay. You're out in your own suburb.
Okay, that's.
I don't think anything's been reported on the north
side.
I'm
in Montgomery County. Thank you very much.
You're in Orange County. It's about the same distance.
Shut up.
All right, we're just getting started on an FEF Friday. Plenty of things going on. If you want to join the show, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number. Hit us on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And please remember, because it is an FEF Friday, F is for funny. And because F is for funny, we have a comedian of the week. And Barry Laminack is going to tell you all about it.
Chinadu. Everybody knows Chinadu in Houston. Man, Chinadu is a staple of he's a staple of your mornings. H-Town Rush on Channel 11. Hi, Joel.
Keisha who?
That's it. But no, dude, like Chinadu, man, he's made all those... you know, you know you're from Willowbrook if, you know you're from Greenspoint if. And he also does a ton of stand-up, so he's got a tour coming up. You can hit him up on chinaduogu.com. But we're going to have clips coming up at the 115, 215, and 315. Now, what I did is I mixed it up, too. I got a stand-up clip, but then I wanted to use some of his videos that he's kind of known for to give people a sample of both, so...
Cool. There you go. Stay tuned for that. The first one coming up next, and much more of The Usual Suspects as we just kickstart the program right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
My mom was hood, though. It was different things. She had different requirements of me as a parent. She was hood. It wasn't no, okay, it's okay. If you don't do it right, it's okay. No, if you don't do it right, I'm going to get you. See, these new age kids got it good. DVR, independence, they own cell phone. What? When I was a kid, I was the DVR. That was my job. My job for my mom was to pour her soap operas. If your mom watched soap operas, make some noise. That's right. I wasn't at home watching Darkwing Duck and Tiny Toons, no. I was at home watching Price is Right, As the World Turns, Bone and Beautiful, God in Light, General Hospital. At 9, watching Murder, She Wrote, Designing Women, In the Heat of the Night. In the heat.
There you go, Barry. First clip from your man, Chinadu.
Yeah, long time coming. It took a while, but yeah, happy to be featuring Chinadu. Had some requests from folks in the past. Mm-hmm. To feature Chinadu, and finally getting around to it. So
Lisa worked with him, speaks yep. highly of him.
Yep.
Enjoyed good being dude. Around him.
You know, I do the workshop every Tuesday, the comedy workshop, yeah. And I do it. It's free. I do it for free. I don't even get paid to do it. I just want to help comedians get better. And it's tough when you have to ask folks to come in and do stuff for free as well.
Sure.
But Chinadu was nice enough to drop in and spit game to the comics about social media and viral marketing and all that stuff for a couple of minutes. So good dude. Happy to be able to finally feature you.
There you go. First clip there. We'll have two more, one at 2:15, one at 3:15. So stay tuned for that on an F Yeah Friday. F is for what the F happened last night.
Oof. Nick, F is for fail.
Yeah, you were at the game. I watched it, stomached as much as I could, and then kind of toughed it out through the rest of it. But you were talking about the whole coronavirus too, but at least it started off on a good note before everything went sour in a hurry.
It's so funny. You guys are going to get a kick out of this story because it involves your boy, Mark Berman.
What?
Barry Laminack.
Oh, no.
Old Clear My Throat, Mark
Mr.
Berman.
Mr.
Scoopy Scoop.
Yeah. Mr. So, in the press box and won't get a throat lozenger, Mark Berman?
Yep. Yep.
A lozenger or a lozenge? All right. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, coronavirus was really trending big time right around pregame, right around when Mike D'Antoni speaks.
Thanks to your boy Matt Harrop.
Yeah, and you know, Mark Berman was obviously excited to get that first question in, and it wasn't going to be a basketball-related question. It was going to be, you know, like a human angle, and that's what he does. And he wanted to ask about the coronavirus. And as he's asking about the coronavirus, Coach D'Antoni sneezes so bad. Unintentional, obviously. And
that is awesome.
This is the Clippers game, so there's more media than normal. There's more scrum than normal.
Yeah, L.A. people.
And they're literally trying to hide the fact that they're absolutely concerned that Mike D'Antoni sneezed while Mark Berman is asking this question about the coronavirus, because they all kind of take a step back.
That is and they great. All kind of.
Did he cover his mouth?
He did. He actually did the.
Did the elbow sneeze?
Yeah, he actually did that.
Was so. Berman? Did Berman immediately start clearing his throat? Did he start? Did he immediately?
He was probably,
I got it. That dude, man. What did he do? What was his reaction?
He probably was so excited he didn't even budge. He probably just kept his phone right there and Mike D'Antoni's
and all, just all on his camera.
Got the little moisture bubbles on the lens.
How hard was it to not die laughing, Nick?
I looked down because I just wanted to hide my face. I figured if they didn't hear me, they're not going to see my face. You know
how did
I mean?
You not follow up question? Do you have coronavirus?
He Mike, did.
Of course. That would have been great.
Oh, God.
D'Antoni would have laughed at that if you'd have followed up with that question. Mike, are you feeling okay?
Yeah.
You good, bud?
Yeah. I could see, like, I don't really have that relationship. I could see other media
That's
members
That's how you
doing...
establish it.
No, I know.
Because he says, I like that Shirara kid. I like that.
I just thought it was so funny. The timing could not have been worse. Mark Berman was so excited to get that coronavirus question out. He wanted to ask it first so
Mike,
bad.
How do you feel? Oh, God. I can just see the two of them having a sneezing and a coughing attack at each other.
How is it that you have, arguably, to this point in the season, the biggest game of the year for this team, and the first question out of your pie hole is the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be, are you worried about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Paul Pat Beverly on the perimeter or something? Should've.
Come on, Scoops McCoff. You can do better than that.
Yeah.
That was the most exciting part of the night was the cough because the game was absolutely terrible.
Eesh.
Terrible.
Yeah. Not pretty.
No.
Start to finish.
I picked it up a little late, but because I'm not going to lie, I started reading about the Instapot. And then at 7:40, I looked up and was like, oh, man, Rockets. I got to get on this. So I missed a little bit of it, but I don't feel like I missed much.
No, you missed a really bad game, a really bad outing.
Well, I missed a quarter and a half, but it was over by then.
It was over.
You should have zero regret in your veins right now.
I had buddies that were trying to get me to help them get tickets.
Was it ever close? Everything I saw, it was never close.
No.
Okay.
No. They couldn't make a three.
Yeah.
And they finally ran into a team that, and I told you this before the game yesterday, one, that the Clippers are as athletic as the Rockets are, but they still possess some big guys that can do some damage.
Yep.
Boy, did they ever. I mean, when you run into a team that can match you athletically with small ball, but can create mismatches and switches that get their bigs the ball, the Rockets. And then to make matters worse, and then the Rockets couldn't make a three. Would they miss like 18 threes in a row? I felt I was watching like game 7 against the Warriors again.
When Zubac hit that sky hook, I was like, it's over.
And Montrez had whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, it's easy for us to poop on them now because they lost. You know, we were given – what I was afraid of when I started – thinking about how I'm going to criticize the Rockets, everybody's going to be like, man, it was just one game. You guys were just so high on them 24 hours ago. But this is not any game. This is against the Clippers.
Yep.
And remember we were talking about Montrezl Harrell and how Mike D'Antoni wouldn't play him and the trust factor. Doc Rivers was asked, you know, about the rotation. He's like, it's a good problem to have. I got about 10 guys I can play.
Well, he's the deepest team in the league.
Mike D'Antoni has technically 8. I was talking to Ali Bajani. He was like, 7.5 with Ben McLemore. That's a problem. So it's a good problem for Doc Rivers. It's a bad problem for Mike D'Antoni in terms of the rotation. And I'm sorry, man. I'll just say it now. I don't care if there's 20 games left or whatever. I don't see this team getting past the second round in the playoffs. They just don't. I just do not see it.
I've tried because you guys give me a hard time anyway, but I've tried to be Mr. Positive, and I've said I'm going to judge this team right now for what they are in the regular season, but I've told you guys all along the playoffs are a different animal. This is another, and we talked about the barometer of this game last night and then the Laker game coming up this weekend. Those are going to be games that are going to be paramount to what, you know, where we see this team going. Boy, you better hope that Laker game's a hell of a lot better because, man, the biggest problem I had, though, was D'Antoni was laughing after the game.
Why
in the way he handled it. It's just, I don't think it's funny at this point in the season. I don't think I could laugh that one off. I'd be embarrassed. I'd be pissed off.
I mean, you can't change the outcome.
No, but you got to realize...
It's like people getting mad at Gronk going out after the Super Bowl or something. And you're not changing the outcome of the game.
I understand that, Barry, but if that's my team in that locker room and I'm laughing about it instead of going, you know, I've seen so many coaches...
Maybe he's just laughing to keep from crying. Right?
No, I would have a totally different demeanor if I was the head coach of that team after what I saw last night.
Here's the problem. They barely got out-rebounded, 57-51. That's not terrible. And I think at the half, it was worse than what it ended up being for the game. The defense was pretty bad. But and even on the switches and stuff, and you talk about, you know, with Covington and the help defense, a lot of that didn't exist last night. The big problem was their shots not falling. And, you know, we've talked about it on this show, and we've warned people that you are relying on something that comes and goes, and you're building an offense or a team around something, much like hitting, where, you know, if you play good defense and you do some of the intangibles and stuff like that, and rebounding, that never disappears. But shooting can go away. You had James Harden and Westbrook go 0 for 10 from behind the 3-point line. That if, you know, if they don't shoot 16%, they're in that ball game. Mm. Really?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now. And look, I appreciate you being the sunshine of this conversation, because...
Well, you do realize if they make 7 more 3-pointers and shoot 30%, that's 21
and
points.
And if my aunt had outdoor plumbing, it'd be my uncle. You can say that, but the reason why they didn't shoot well was because they were contested in a lot. The defense was really good. And like you said, the margin for error on a team that isn't deep and doesn't have bigs and isn't more well-rounded is so paper thin, as opposed to teams that can have an off-night shooting and don't have, like, rules about threes and layups and no mid-range and all this other stuff. So it's a different ball game. And that's why when you're playing a team that's upper echelon, as opposed to some of these teams that they've been just, you know, blitzkrieging, it gives you a different perspective. I get it, but they this is something, shooting or not, the matchups for them are horrible. And just like you said with the rebounding, a lot of that was because at the end, Clippers garbage were like, minutes, yes, yeah. Garbage minutes the whole second half, sitting guys and not caring for the Clippers. Clippers were just like, look, we're up 28. Let's just get this thing over with. Whereas the Rockets were just, you know, grabbing everything in panic mode. I think the whole night was summed up by the fact that Russ looked like he was going to tomahawk a jam on the entire world and got it stuck on the rim.
That was
and it was
ugly.
Like, that summed up the whole evening.
But you know what? If they shoot what they normally shoot, they shot 16%. It's rare
and
that a
you're
team
right. They're not
gonna
shoot
isn't going
16.
To shoot is going to shoot 16% from behind the 3-point line. But this is what can happen. So to me, this is what can happen in the playoffs if you base a team around small ball. I've said it, and I'll continue to say it. And it becomes an issue when you see a night like this where you think, man, if they do make 30% of their threes, which isn't great, if you just get to 30%, right? It is a different ballgame. And I know garbage minutes and all this and that, but when the shots are falling, you get played differently. You didn't have to worry about it last night.
But that's my point, Barry. I think it also, if the shots are falling, the Clippers play you differently. So when you say it's easy to say in retrospect, hey, if they shot 30%, they'd be in the ballgame. Well, but you don't know that, because Doc could have said if they started making a few threes, okay, here's what we're going to do now. Now we're going to overplay the perimeter. We're going to leave the lane open. And we're going to help a lot more in terms of rotations. And it could have changed the way the outcome was, too. So it's tough to call that way in retrospect. But I get what you're saying. They're not going to shoot 16%.
No.
So, all right. If you guys want to talk Rockets, we're open for it. Otherwise, we've got plenty of other things to get to as well. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. We're wrapping Rockets as we roll through the first hour of the show. The other thing, fellas, I just think, and Barry, I'll tell you what, man, you said it, and whether it was just slightly tongue-in-cheek or when we were really, you know, drilling down on this team a while back, I don't think the Kool-Aid drinking, red rowdy type Rockets fans are willing to stomach this notion yet. But this is becoming Russ's team. Russ is becoming the best player on this team. And if you just look at his stats, it's one thing. But if you look at what James Harden hasn't done in the past 30 days or so, his shooting percentage is awful. His last three or four games, his three-point shooting is just
almost non-existent.
He's ridiculously bad. And yet Russ just keeps – I mean, the fact that I made a little bit light of the fact that he got the ball hung on the rim trying to do a monster dunk last night. But I give him credit for doing it because I think he was trying to light a fire under his team's ass a little bit too in the second half, trying to see if there was any energy left from his squad. But I just – I love the energy this guy brings night in. I've always been a fan of his game, right? And a lot of people have it. And when he got here, I took some heat because I said, look, I love his game. I don't know how it's going to work with James. But I'm one of the few that – because I think that he's got that FU mentality to the world when he plays – I just think he's been a breath of fresh air. Yes, he's been a breath of fresh air early on with this team. But now that he's found his niche, he's not shooting the three anymore, and he's at least getting the ball enough to make a difference. Dude's been huge.
He shoots just enough to keep you honest where you're going to have to come out and respect it. And if he's – and I'm fine with that. If you're 1-for-3, you know, 1-for-2, something like that, even 0-for-2, but you know you got to – if you're going to let him take those shots, he's not going to, because if you leave space – he's going to eat up that space and take a mid-range shot or use it to accelerate to get to the basket. So you kind of have to pick your poison. You almost want to get out there and kind of force him to shoot. But that's the beautiful thing is, like you said, he has completely changed his game. And kudos to the Rockets for recognizing that, look, this is we can't force this guy just because the analytics say it's a better shot. You have to be realistic and realize that for some people, it's not a better shot because they're so bad at that shot. Let him get to the elbow or get to the rim and take a shot from there, and you're better off.
It's the old adage in sports of if you get a very dynamic player, but you make him play your system and your system is completely polar opposite to what he brings to the table, that's on you.
Yeah.
But if you're innovative enough, take the Baltimore Ravens, for example. Baltimore Ravens, if they made Lamar Jackson play a pass-happy style, you know, and do all the things that maybe they would have done in the past, they wouldn't be as successful as letting Lamar be Lamar. Let him do his thing, excel and use his strengths to make sure that the other team's weaknesses are exposed. That's what they're doing when, whether you call, even before small ball, the fact that they were finally able to figure out a little bit more of a happy medium between the two stars has been huge.
Yeah,
so
you're right. I looked it up because I remember saying he was 7-for-30, James Harden was, from three-point range. Adding in that, now he's 7-for-38 over his last three games from three-point range.
Yeah, he has.
That's terrible. That's almost,
he finished 20%,
something like that?
Yeah. And
pretty bad.
The scary part for me is one of the criticisms that I've had, I'm guilty of doing this, is, you know, when I said when the shot's not falling, why aren't you attacking the basket? Well, if you look at this game, that's exactly what they did. They did a really good job of attacking the basket, and they still had this big discrepancy on the scoreboard. To me, that's a big, big, big concern because they had the points in the paint. They were able to get they were able to clean up and get some rebounds, and they did well rebounding. I know garbage time affected the box score a little bit, but they were attacking the basket from right when they noticed that they were missing shots. They still kept shooting shots, but they were attacking the basket, and they still weren't able to do anything. That, to me, is one of the bigger fears that I have for this Rockets team when they're not shooting well.
Outside of Westbrook and Green, the rest of this team was a no-show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Eaton, Covington, the heart and soul, like Harden, like you didn't get support from anyone else. And to your point, Nick, You feel like they were doing some of the right things. They just weren't effective in doing it at all.
No. I mean, the shots. The other thing is the Clippers, I don't think there's a single. I'm not going to say the Rockets are scared of the Clippers because I really believe that they're not. But you could just tell every single player on that Clippers squad, they have no fear of the Rockets.
It's
zero.
It's the hatred. I think they hate the Rockets, and they look to embarrass the Rockets. Now, Kawhi and Paul George aren't necessarily a part of that. I don't know if there's any tension between Paul George and Russell Westbrook or not, but you know all of the other backstories.
It's the Russ and Pat Bev. It's the Montrez making a statement about the guy,
and the Rockets.
D'Antoni wouldn't play him, and Lou Williams, who actually liked it here, and then before he could even unpack, he was sent packing, and he even tweeted right after he was traded back going, "Less Rockets, let's just pretend it never happened," because he was pissed. And I think the other thing was it was a statement game for them last night because they started to take some heat. Like, is this team a pretender or a contender? Because they had lost some games they should have won. They were getting criticized because, you know, at home they weren't playing well. They had to kind of defend themselves. And they knew national TV against a hot team that was on their tails, they could make a statement, and they also knew if they lost last night, they'd have lost the season series, and they went, you know what, let's just put all this to bed for a second. Let's show them that when we're healthy and we go at on all cylinders, we can play with anybody, and they can. And that's the big, the scariest thing about that team is the fact that, and you and I have talked about this, if they're not the best team defensively in the league when they want to be, they're close, because it's one thing to say double teams and help defense and the way they can try and take a ball out of someone's hands. But when you can take three guys and just go, you're on an island with him, and I don't care if he's one of the best players in the league, I trust you can defend him. That's a rare skill that no other team can do that. Yeah. When you've got Beverly, Paul George, and Kawhi that can all go on an island with their guy, now your bigs can double and help, and there's more rebounds to grab. That's a special array of talent. And then when offensively they can play small ball, big ball, or anywhere in between.
Oh, yeah.
That's
they're
something.
A versatile team, too.
Yeah.
You look at the Lakers, they're big, right? You look at the Rockets, and they're small. But the Clippers, you feel like, can play either of those teams at their own game.
That's the versatility factor they bring that no other team in the league, I think, can bring to the table. And
pretty
if you take Marcus Morris's over...
Milwaukee probably has some of that where they could... I mean, Giannis obviously is Giannis, so he's going to be whether you go big or small a lot of times. But Milwaukee's pretty deep. They're a little more versatile than, say, like the Lakers, I think.
I think the three deepest teams in the league are Boston, Milwaukee, and the Clippers. And I think that's in reverse order.
You're not including the Lakers in that?
They're getting there. I don't know. Some of those guys that you're seeing play now wouldn't be as viable come playoff time.
They're deep, though.
But they are, because they got three bigs on three seven-footers.
Yeah.
And they've got veteran experience. I don't know what, with Rondo and some of the guys they have. But I just think... I put the Lakers in top four deepest teams in the league. Okay. Both L.A. teams, Boston and Milwaukee. Biggest thing with Milwaukee is when you play them in the playoffs, and like I said, and you can send two of those great defenders to take it out of Giannis's hands, your chances of winning go way up.
Good point.
So we'll see what goes on. All right, so we've got plenty more to get to as we roll through the first hour of the show. And again, we've got two more clips from Chinadu, our comedian of the week, and lots more stuff on an FEF Friday. Stay with us. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
FEF Friday, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Weather couldn't be any better.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely outstanding.
I almost got naked and drove around. It was so nice.
You almost got naked and drove around? Or
naked. Naked.
Oh. Naked. Naked. Then I wouldn't naked. Encourage you to get Nick.
No, that would be...
That'd be a bad idea.
We're not doing that again.
That's right. You're not dating anymore, even with Nora out of town.
Does
that count if you guys just do a quick rendezvous?
No.
I'm quiet. Not commenting.
Really? Wow, he really made it awkward. What started off as a funny little joke, go together, and now Joel has made it very awkward.
Because now people really believe.
Why is it when I do it, it's a negative, and it's all this and that, and when he does it, he's a comedian, he's funny. I just don't get that. I don't get that.
Because I know how to pull it off.
That's hilarious.
With Nick or with...
See? I'm just messing with you.
I know. You mentioned your boy, by the way, Alekhine Bajani. He did have a stat last night that I thought I'd throw at you, Barry, to your point.
Okay.
Open three-pointers last night with the closest defender 4 to 6 feet away. They were 0 of 13. That is just not acceptable.
Nope.
Wide open three-pointers where the closest defender is more than 6 feet away, 6 of 23.
Yeah, they won't do that all the time.
No.
But again, that's the scary part about this team. I still like the small ball. I'm not going to take away what they were able to accomplish leading up to these last couple of games. But we said yesterday that this was a barometer game and we would reserve judgment to see how they play. They didn't play well. They didn't show up. Now, to them, it may not have been a big deal. It was just one game of 82, right? So they didn't care or whatever. But you got trounced at home by a team that you're chasing in the playoff race. You can't do that. That just cannot happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to go back all the good things I said, but go ahead and put this in the category of uh-oh, what's going to happen in the postseason, because this was a barometer. This was a test. And like you said, it's an F, yeah, Friday, and F stands for failed, because they failed the test last night.
Big time. Big time. And so, you know, another test. This is an interesting next couple games for them.
Yeah.
And so they can bounce back, but it starts with James Harden, too. He's got to bounce back.
Yeah, he's
got to
start shooting better.
Yeah, regardless of – take your mind out of the MVP conversation and the back and forth with Giannis and just get back to being James Harden again and try and make some shots.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, one game is something you can just say it happens. Two games and you're like, okay, maybe there's a slump. But consistently inconsistent. The month of January was not a good month for
no,
or February, I should say.
Maybe so. Maybe he's just focused on his defense. Couldn't even get it out. Oh, my bad.
Well, but you know, remember now, he's one of the best post defenders in the league.
Yeah, and they'll tell you that.
All right. Well, you want to take this?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. Kirby wants to get in here. I think there's one of three different topics that's popped up. But Kirby, what's up?
Hey guys, how are y'all doing today?
Good man, how are you?
I just tuned in. Barry, can you hear me, pal?
I can hear you, Kirby. This better be good, because if this sucks, I'm going to roast you for an hour, okay? If you're going to, okay. Go ahead.
What are you going to, first of all, I feel like you have a problem with me.
Why would I have a problem with you? I don't even know you.
You guys know
I don't know. I mean, you just told me I better be good. I tell you what's good. Oh, well, what used to be good is looking at Lisa Fernandez and Cheetah Johnson on the news in the morning.
All right. Dump that. That is just awful.
I don't know who Lisa Fernandez is.
Like, why would... And you wonder why I would have a problem with you, Kirby. I could tell right away...
I got
away,
a problem with Kirby, so now
I could tell right away you were going to be a dick, and you lived up to expectations. Kirby, feel free to lose the number during 1 to 4 for the station. You don't ever need to call the show again. You're a horrible person.
So for those of you,
you're
that
a terrible
don't know,
human being and a horrible person. And I hope your phone gets cut off. I hope your mom doesn't pay the bill and you don't get to use that phone anymore. I hope you're happy.
We have idiot. A monitor in the
and Nick,
studio.
You warned us.
That yes, you did.
I told you yeah, not to take have, it. I told you guys
a
not to take it.
Horrible person.
We have a monitor Jeez. In the studio and it says the name of the caller. And then what they want to talk about. Kirby changed his topic 3 times.
Kirby's a dumbass. You could tell. I just knew as soon as we... And I thought it was going to... Here's why. I thought he was going to try to be funny. I just didn't realize he was just going to be an a-hole.
And he went back at you. He was going at you right hard right away.
That was just...
That's my job.
That's...
Anyway, back to the show.
I just want to keep going. I just want to keep talking about Kirby. And his parents. And they raised a terrible person. They failed. His parents failed him.
Well, here's what you do.
Okay.
Go to the intern during the break.
Yes.
Off of the caller
ID.
Yeah, caller ID. Get yeah. his number. And then you can talk to his mom directly and try and see if he can get his allowance withheld.
Call
or
him.
Or more chores.
Boy.
Or something.
You know, and he tried. Bless his heart, he tried. Just it wasn't good. So
less than that. So
all right.
I do have some positives from yesterday's Astros game.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
That, you had some interesting tidbits yesterday about the fact that Gerrit Cole twice gave up back-to-back home
yeah.
runs in a game yesterday against the Detroit Tigers.
Dude, if Miguel Cabrera's taking you, he is the Detroit Pujols. Like he's
yeah. Once run a triple crown, but once upon a time, long, long ago.
Yeah, they're deteriorating rapidly.
Yeah, but good news from an Astros perspective is Josh James started 3 scoreless innings, and he looked dominant.
Okay.
Against a Red Sox lineup that wasn't their mixed bag spring training lineup. I looked at it from Benintendi, J.D. Martinez, all the guys that were in the lineup were regulars for the Red Sox. So good outing from him. That was good news. And then following him, Valdez did the same thing, scoreless for 2.
Oh.
So and then Kyle Tucker, who was 0 for spring, had 3 hits. So I'm not worried about as much about Tucker, although I'm trying to figure out between him and Reddick who sucks less.
For right Tucker field. Sucks less.
and has more potential, I guess, yeah. and a smaller salary.
Yeah.
But from a pitching perspective, to get good outings out of both those guys, that's encouraging to follow up on the fact that Verlander looked good in his first outing. Greinke continues to look good.
Greinke has looked well this spring.
So the rotation looks
And those
like,
guys you're not worried about. Who you want to see is, you want to see the Framber Valdezes of the world and what do they offer. And Josh James as well. And you know what you're going to get from James, but I felt like this is not a spring. You know, a lot of times you'll see guys with inflated numbers like Gerrit Cole. I mean, we're joking sure. a little bit about him getting roughed up, and he did get roughed up.
Yeah.
Six earnings over two?
Yeah.
But you don't know if he's working on something, if he's, you know, messing with his grip on a fastball or anything like that.
Working a new pitch.
Yeah. So you're not necessarily worried about a guy like Gerrit Cole, but Josh James and Framber Valdez they're not afforded the opportunity to do that. They've got to prove that they belong on the staff. They have to prove that they could earn their spot. So they've got to go out and pitch their tails off, and it looks like that's what they did at least for a day.
And
so
if you
good
look
for them.
At the situation where we knew all offseason they were going to be looking for another starting pitcher, and then the whole cheat thing came up, the scandal came up, the general manager, obviously when you lose AJ and Luno, now you're not going to be doing anything free agency-wise because you've got to get your ducks in a row and you got your house in order. Now that you got your house in order, it's kind of encouraging to know, hey, depending on which way they go, because it looks like McCullers is going to be a slow road back when he only threw two-thirds of an inning in his first outing. But to say that, okay, I know I got the top two horses at the front of the rotation, and I've got Urquidy, Valdez, and Josh James to pick from to go, hey, these guys look like so far so good in terms of early season filling in some of those voids. That's a good sign.
Yeah, I need to see more, especially to me, from Josh James.
I agree because
he's such a wild card.
Well, the big thing is between his ears. Yeah. You know, he's got lightning stuff, but we know that he plays head games with himself a lot and gets himself in trouble. So we'll see how that continues. But good news out of Astros camp yesterday. One of the guys that could have in the past been considered for the rotation is now on another team. We mentioned the fact that Colin McHugh signed with the Red Sox yesterday. Well, he was talking today. We have some of those sound bites. You'll be interested in some of the comments he made about the Astros, the scandal, and everything else. Coming up as we start the second hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.